Hi, everyone. My name is Dr. Rita Roy, CEO at the National Spine Health Foundation, and I'm your host for the Get Back to It podcast, where we tell real stories of healing and recovery. What does it mean to get back to it? It means overcoming spinal conditions through treatments that work in order to return to the people and activities you love, whatever that looks like for you. It means getting back to your life. We're here to share the success stories of those who did just that. And some of these stories, you're not going to believe. At the Get Back to It podcast, our goal is to tell stories of spinal champions, people who've been able to achieve a better quality of life through spinal healthcare. In today's episode, I'm delighted to be speaking with Dr. Carrie Hall, a clinical psychologist who recently had a C5, C6 disc replacement. Though her surgery was only 3 months ago, she's doing well and heading toward a strong, full recovery. Now that you know what to expect, let's get back to it and dive right into Carrie's story. Carrie is a busy professional who suddenly awoke with neck pain in November of 2021. She went to a physical therapist where she received an evaluation. This evaluation showed that she would need surgical support. Soon thereafter, she had a C5, C6 disc replacement. Because she took the necessary action with the guidance of her trusted surgeon, she's been able to reduce her pain and get on her way to a full recovery.
I was very surprised to wake up with pain last year, and I immediately sought out help from a doctor to help me figure out what was going on. The evaluation I received showed that I needed much more help than I originally expected.
Carrie did the right thing by seeking help and not living in pain. Because of her quick actions, she was able to take the steps that would lead her out of pain in the shortest amount of time.
As a clinical psychologist working with people every day, I knew I could not be living in the level of pain that I had and continue to do the things in my life that were so important to me. It was necessary for me to discover the root of this problem. I was happy to trust the physicians and physical therapists I consulted.
When the doctors recommended Carrie have surgery, she trusted their judgment and moved forward with the procedure. This turned out to be the right move for her.
I felt very supported and encouraged by my team, and I'm so thankful for their guidance. Living in the type of pain I had just wasn't an option for me, and it shouldn't be for anyone else.
Carrie successfully received her surgery in March of 2022 and is glad to be on the road to full recovery with zero pain.
I know some people wait to get treatment, but I'm really glad I didn't. It saved me what could have been years of pain.
Carrie is now able to live her life to the fullest, and she's eager to share her story with those around her so that others can learn from her journey.
I love being able to tell others about the actions I took that actually worked. I'm thankful for my experience and encourage others to seek help immediately if they're living in pain.
Carrie, you have such a great story because it showcases the importance of taking quick action. A lot of times people wait around and they just hope that things will get better. But unfortunately, that's often unsuccessful. Carrie, what made you be so proactive?
Well, I actually think my own background in healthcare helped. Part of my training was in pain management work, believe it or not. And I knew the importance of getting in for prompt medical attention and also being proactive in my own healthcare. I knew that it was important the things I did to try to manage my health, as well as working with physicians and PT and my healthcare team otherwise.
You know, that's such a great advantage to come at this from a medical background. Carrie, we were talking a little bit and learning about your story that you knew that physical therapy would be a good place to start, that you'd had this twinge in your neck and let me go see a physical therapist. I think a lot of people don't know that they can just go in and see physical therapy. So tell me what that was like.
Yes. I thought, actually, it was very surprising that I ended up in surgery. I knew one of the greatest things we can do with pain is to actually be evaluated by someone trained to do the evaluation and stay physically active as long as we're able to do that. And so to do that, I self-referred to a PT.
And when you say self-refer, that means I booked an appointment for myself, right?
I did.
That's what that
I
means.
Did. Yeah. I did. I reached out. I booked my own appointment where I'm at. I could do that upon my own referral. And then I had my physical coming up in short order. So I also discussed it with my primary care after 1 to 2 PT sessions.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that a lot of people don't know, that there are many states in the U.S. that don't require a referral to go to physical therapy. I know in the state of Virginia, I think you can have up to 4 appointments without a doctor referring you to physical therapy. So I'd encourage people to take a look at what the state requirements are. And if they don't know, they can just call a physical therapy, you know, location or physical therapist and ask. And that's just such a great place to start. And I think kudos to you with your background, knowing that you should go and get this thing looked at, right? And so let's talk about that a little bit. How did you know? I mean, what prompted you to say, this doesn't just seem like a regular pain? Like what made you think that you really needed an expert opinion on this?
Well, at first I wasn't sure, but I encourage people to trust their instincts. And my instincts suggested to me, because I woke up one night in horrible pain, and I was hoping it was something like when you hit your funny bone and it just feels really odd, that maybe it'd feel really odd for a while and then it would go away. But there was something about the quality of the pain that really concerned me. Frankly, it was just absolutely excruciating at night. It was like a nerve storm, a burning and numbness. And I was hoping that it was something that felt very unusual, but perhaps subsided or with PT would subside. But I also knew that taking quicker action on it probably would be important. And it was too much for me to navigate on my own. So that's why I sought out a PT.
That's great. And Carrie, you had explained to me that the physical therapist that you happened to see, when you described exactly what your pain was like, that it was shooting down your arm and certain kinds of movements, and she felt like she knew pretty much right away what that sounded like, right? What was that?
It was absolutely amazing to me. So I didn't know where the pain was coming from. The pain at first would radiate down my arm into some of my fingertips and be this blend of this excruciating, like burning pain along with numbness, like a very uncomfortable numbness. And I thought it might be coming from my shoulder. I had no idea. But there was one stretching exercise that I was instructed to do. And I did my PT every day as instructed mm-hmm. to help get a clear sense of things. And about 10 seconds in, it would produce this radiating numbness. And so she was the one that said, Carrie, I really think this is C5, C6 in your neck, which was astonishing to me because I thought it maybe was my arm.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have suspected that. And she helped guide the course that followed next.
Yeah. It's amazing. I remember when I had my spine condition, it was in my lower back, and I had this excruciating pain in my leg. And I went to see a doctor, a bone doctor, an orthopedist. And I said, there's something wrong with my leg. And he said, okay, we're going to take an x-ray of your back. And I said, no, I said my leg. and yes. So it's like, wait, this is coming from my neck? This is my hand pain is coming from it. So yeah, I mean, it's just not what we think of right away, because we don't associate that pain coming from the nerves that are up there.
Absolutely.
And it's hard sometimes to distinguish the difference between nerve pain that might be coming from something in your spine versus pulling a muscle, you know, or tweaking a muscle. So I think it was such a good step for you to go to physical therapy, you know, to recognize that something's not right. Let me start with people who specialize in, you know, soft tissue stuff, and let's just see what's going on here. And that was really brilliant. So at what point did you then go see a spine surgeon? And what was that picture like? So your physical therapist says, I think this seems a lot like a C5, C6 situation. You need to see a spine specialist. So then what happened?
So one thing I wanted to do for myself, just with my own background and pain management too, is do as much as I could for myself, which then helped inform the next decision. So at that juncture, I've been doing PT and I've been doing all my exercises as advised twice a day. But unfortunately, the pain was getting worse and worse at night and starting to impact my day more too. Mm. And so I was barely sleeping.
Wow. Were you taking any NSAIDs or anything like that? Were you?
Good question. So I was on the full strength of NSAIDs that I could be on, that was advised through my primary care. And it was also advised to me to do one trial of steroids just to see the way my PT had described it and my primary care supported it and prescribed it, whether that would interrupt the cycle of pain in my body to help me turn a corner with PT. But unfortunately, it came back. And in fact, it got worse.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And at that juncture, I was just miserable.
Right.
I was it went from I could sleep a 3 or 4 hour stretch and I would wake up in just excruciating, burning, numb pain.
So the pain woke you up.
Oh, absolutely. It was worse at night. There was something about being in the lying down position, and I had tricks. I had tricks, but they stopped working. So one trick was to actually hold my arm up and go back to sleep. Yeah. And believe it or not, it would take the nerve pain down a couple notches, which my PT also said was consistent with this, which I found interesting. It would take it down a couple notches, but that stopped working. Then I had a trick of tucking my arm under my pillow and laying on my back, but that stopped working. So it got to the place where even though I was doing my PT exercises as prescribed and then had done the steroid trial, it was still getting worse and worse to the point that I could only sleep an hour and a half.
Oh my gosh.
At night. It was just horrible. And so at that juncture, I knew I'd done everything I could, tried every pillow. I ordered every pillow there was to see if a different pillow would help.
Right.
Every different sleeping position. And it really indicated and pointed to, you know, seeing a spinal specialist.
Right. And Carrie, one of the things that you said in that research was that you found other people's stories or
yes,
testimonials, and that felt important to you to hear from others what they did in similar situations, right? Is that?
Absolutely. And that's why I'm here today. So I was feeling very lost and alone and overwhelmed in this and very sleep deprived too. And one night, one of the things I did to cope was I would sometimes look things up in the middle of the night because any position of trying to lay down just exacerbated the pain. And so I just came into something to help me kind of cope and deal with it. And I came across a woman's story, quite similar to what ended up being my own experience. And she had C5, C6 disc replacement too. And it really changed things for me. And her symptoms were very similar to my symptoms.
I think that's such an important thing that you're saying, Carrie, because it's so much about what we are trying. That is so much who we are as an organization,
right,
that we want to share these stories, because you said something so critical. You felt lost, alone, overwhelmed, confused, and you sort of feel like you're the only person alive that's experiencing this.
Yes, particularly being up in the middle of the night, every night, just an excruciating pain. And then my days started closing in too. I had pain every morning. Being upright would help at first. But then my days started getting shorter and shorter in terms of then I was having a lot of pain in the evening as well. I couldn't even sit. So it was a lot to go through. And then hearing that other person's account gave me hope. And it was important that I have some hope at that juncture.
You just hit the nail on the head there, Carrie, because we say, you know, at the National Spine Health Foundation, we're here to give people hope. that mm-hmm. they can get better and get back to their lives. So, yeah. you know, I'm going to thank you many, many times during the course of this conversation for coming on with us and telling your story and sharing so freely so that other people can hear that they're not alone. I mean, 100 million Americans suffer from a neck or back condition every year. We say that's you or someone you know is suffering. And I think one of the things that happens when a person is afflicted with a spine condition is that it's not just them that mm-hmm. is experiencing.
Oh, yeah.
The ripple effect to your family, right?
Absolutely.
You can't care for your kids. You can't, you know, mm-hmm. it's hard to work. You can't make dinner. You can't get to the grocery. Like all the things, you suddenly are sidelined. And now family members have to participate in that. Was that a little bit of what was happening in?
Oh, yes. I could just make it through my work day and then I was depleted. I mean, having some normalcy through work was very helpful, and probably actually the pandemic helped that in doing telehealth rather than having to commute into work and other things. But I was not the same otherwise. You know, my husband was assuming a lot of responsibilities in our household. My daughter, I'm going to tear up when I talk about it. She's 14 now, but she came up to me one night, Mom, she said, "You're just not the same." She said, "You're so sensitive." I said, "Yes, I am, because I'm not sleeping and I'm in pain and I'm so sorry." And I did everything I could to try to, you know, make things normal for her, like take her to she swims, her swim practices and stuff. But I was just going through the motions.
Yeah.
And they had me back, and I see their happiness in terms of having me back.
Yeah. That makes me tear up too, thinking about that, just because I know, having lived through that, how hard that is, because as a mom, you're there for everyone. That's our joy as mothers. That's our role as mothers. And to not be able to provide in that way is, it's really tough. It's devastating. That's hard. So what was the period of time from the time that you woke up with the pain, you endured this, you tried to see if this would get better? It's not getting better. It's getting worse. And then you arrive at a spine surgeon's office. What was that period of time? About a month or so?
That's a good question. I looked it up right before this. So the pain onset was about a week before Thanksgiving, so later November. I did PT all through December into early January. And that's when I knew things were really problematic and unfortunately not getting better. So it was in January when I met with a spinal specialist.
And in that meeting, did they do x-rays and MRIs? Was that the next step for you?
Well, one thing happened in that meeting, which just shocked me. There were a series of things. I had had x-rays through my primary care physician. It did reveal things, but not the fuller scope. They did a full evaluation in the spinal surgeon's office. And part of that was to have me go through different positions where they assess my strength. So one thing I was to do was to hold my arm down by my side and put my forearm out in like a 90 degree angle. And this was my dominant arm too. I'm right-handed. And they pushed down on it and I couldn't resist it at all.
And you were surprised by that, right?
I was astonished. I had no idea. Now, I did have this weird banded feeling at the top of my arm that was quite persistent. It felt like I had a tight blood pressure cuff, and I kept explaining it to people. I had this blood pressure cuff sensation. But what I didn't know is that I actually have weakness, because it was a time of year where I wasn't doing as many of the activities I normally do. I play golf a bit. I wasn't doing things like that. And my job doesn't involve any manual labor or anything mm-hmm. of that nature. So I was just shocked when that happened. And then they repeated it and it was the same thing. So then two things happened from there. An MRI was ordered and they did a nerve conduction study. And the MRI revealed a clear herniation that didn't show up in the x-ray.
Wouldn't show on an x-ray. Yeah.
And then the nerve conduction study revealed nerve damage, that the nerve wasn't firing correctly. That's when I knew how concerning things really were.
Yeah. And so then at that point, did your surgeon say, we got to get you in right away? Did you feel like it was an emergency or you had time, or what was that like for you?
Well, surgery was discussed, but I really am grateful for my surgeon. He was just matter of fact about it. I think I realized, I came to the recognition myself, that the nerve damage wasn't going to go away on its own. I was so incredibly grateful they caught it. I might have gone a long time otherwise, or they had not caught that I had that extent of, you know, nerve damage. And I knew from my work that nerves are fussy, and so you don't want to just leave that be.
Right.
So they did offer me different options, but ultimately I think they were giving me space to come into a sense for myself that really surgery was the important thing to do here. One of the reasons I sought out the specialist I went to is I was looking for non-surgical options. I had no idea I was going to end up with a clear surgery recommendation.
Wow. Well, you know, that's so interesting. A lot of our surgeons on our medical and scientific board will say, you know, 80% of the time when they see patients, they don't do surgery right away.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. And I think if you're lucky enough to get into a comprehensive spine care practice, there's a range of treatment options for a range of conditions, right? It's not always, surgery is not always the answer for everybody. And it's not necessarily the first step. But in some cases, surgery is the definitive treatment solution that fixes things and gets you back. So that's interesting that your surgeon presented you with some options and then you had to choose, right? What to do?
Right. It really was all pointing towards surgery, I think, but it wasn't, you need to head right into surgery.
Yeah.
It was like, here, let us give you some information, which was really helpful. So one thing they put up the MRI and they explained what they saw in it, which even in my novice eye became clear to me.
Mm-hmm.
I could see, you know, partial compression of my spinal column. And then they explained in a cross section how they could see that the nerve wasn't firing, you know, correctly going out to my right arm than the left. So they showed it to me, just so that I could see it and I could process it. And then again, it was that evaluation that revealed the weakness, that it was processing that too. And, you know, then they offered me some intermediary options just because my functioning, I would not have been able to continue working if they did not work with me in such a helpful way.
Wow.
You know, so temporary medication options, and it didn't take the pain away.
Yeah.
It gave me a couple hours of sleep.
Wow.
And that was really important too. And they put a model of what a disc replacement device is in my hand. And that helped to actually see it,
feel it, yeah.
Touch it. Absolutely.
And had you heard of artificial disc replacements prior to this encounter?
No.
Not at all?
No.
What was your first reaction to that?
I was excited and nervous.
Uh-huh.
So when I did that, my background in pain management was before this was a procedure, in terms of when I worked in the hospital setting. And I wasn't even aware that this was an option, but I was excited by the fact it closely approximated my own spine.
Yeah.
And that was really important to me.
Yeah. We say the miracles of modern spinal healthcare are mm-hmm. giving people options like never before. And you got it firsthand. I mean, that is just, mm-hmm. it is just awesome. It's actually awesome. So you got to touch and feel this
yes.
disc that they would put in there, and you decided to move forward with surgery.
Mm-hmm. It was scary though. I mean, now in retrospect, it seems easy and straightforward, but at the time it felt like a lot because I never pictured myself as being a person who would end up in spinal surgery,
right.
You know, or spinal surgery. It was, I was scared about it, but I was also aware that it really was the important and necessary thing to do.
Mm-hmm. So, Carrie, you went into the hospital, you had your surgery. How long did you stay in the hospital?
Overnight.
overnight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you stayed overnight and went home the next day?
I did. I couldn't believe it.
Crazy.
I could not believe it. It's such a science now. And that was another thing, is I realized it was important for me to put my trust in my doctor, mm-hmm, and my healthcare team and in science. And then the people I worked with, some amazing people in the hospital that were there to help me too. Mm-hmm. I even did PT and OT, mm-hmm, right in the hospital. Right
after
away.
Surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Right then, mm-hmm, and there. They get you out
right
of bed.
Right then and there.
Out of bed and moving.
Yes.
Wow. Were you wearing a collar? Did you have a collar?
I was.
Like a collar? And they taught you how to move with that and how to get up and get, mm-hmm, in and out of bed. It's just amazing. It's just absolutely.
It really was. I mean, I could not believe that they went in and removed the herniated disc, put an entirely new disc in, and that I was up and moving shortly thereafter, supervised. They were very careful about, mm-hmm, supervising, mm-hmm, me when I was in the hospital.
Yeah.
They had an alarm system. If I even needed to use the restroom, they said, you've got to call someone.
Right.
But I was up and moving and doing PT. So they had me climbing stairs. They had me getting in and out of a car. They
this
showed me
hours after your surgery.
Right.
Hours after surgery. It's amazing.
Right. It was.
Awesome.
It was incredible. It was awesome. And it gave me peace of mind,
mm-hmm,
you know, to be working with people there, to know how it was important to do things, but also not be afraid to do those things.
Right. Right. Yep. That's amazing. And I think, you know, it's so important when you're going to go through something this big in your life that you have a team that you trust.
Yes.
That you,
yes,
have a team. You're like, I feel good about this team. I've done my research. I like what I'm seeing. I feel comfortable, mm-hmm, and confident. And it's so important to have that in place.
It is. Because I knew from my own background that it's important also to move. So before the surgery, I wanted to keep myself as conditioned as I could, which was so hard.
So that's such a great point. It's so hard because you don't feel good.
No.
You know?
Yeah. I did not feel good. I was exhausted, but I knew it was helpful and important. So working with my PT and knowing how to do that and doing what I could, there were a lot of activities I could not do, but doing what I could, you know, to walk and do my PT exercises. And then I'm in PT post-surgery too,
mm-hmm,
you know, and I knew about myself before because I'd had a different type of surgery years before, and I knew I was frightened sometimes to get active.
Yeah.
And so working, you know, with my physical therapist now in terms of what exercises to do and addressing any concerns I had and how to work those through, you know, was necessary for my confidence, you know, in this process, mm-hmm, too, because I didn't want to hurt myself again, but I knew the importance of staying active.
Yeah. Sort of knowing what the right motion is, right? What the right activity is. Yeah. That's so important to feel confident in your movement. A lot of people are fearful that they're going to re-injure themselves. And,
right,
and so again, working with the right team and getting a good physical therapist who, you know, helps you to feel confident in your movement, mm-hmm, and staying active, just moving, keeping things moving. So, so important. So when you got up after surgery and you're doing this PT and OT in the hospital, did you have immediate relief of pain or?
Yes.
Yeah. Tell me what that was like.
I woke up the first hour after surgery was probably the toughest, you know, because you're not swallowing right. But they helped me with that and it didn't last too long. But I noticed immediately, even through that, it was weird to have that experience, very short-lived, but nonetheless, that the nerve pain was actually gone right away. That burning, I was laying on my back post-op, you know, and I'd just been through the spinal surgery and I'm laying on my back without that radiating pain.
Amazing.
Because before this surgery, I guess just to go to the extent of how bad it was, I had to sleep in a beanbag for the hour and a half sleep I could get.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I could not, even though I have a really nice mattress, I was unable with this pain to lay on my back, obviously lay on my front with a herniated disc in my neck, or either side, because it would just shoot the pain off, that burning, numb pain, to a level that it was actually impossible to sleep with because it was so intense. So to be post-surgery, post-op, and be able to lay on my back and have an immediate sense of relief was just amazing to me.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. It was part of you thinking, this must be the pain medicine. This must be the anesthesia. Like, how come I'm not feeling anything, right?
Well, actually, I had, just to get me by till surgery, I had been on a pretty robust pain medication regimen, and it barely touched my pain.
Interesting.
Even though, yes, I had the surgery medication on board, I knew instantly that it had to be the surgery.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That is awesome.
Yeah, it was incredible. It was incredible. And then by a week after, I still had some numbness that went down my arm, but that was gone too a week later.
Wow. So a week out of surgery, no pain, no numbness, small incision is healing. And are you able to resume? When were you able to resume full activity? When did that?
Yes.
What does that time frame look like?
So the time frame in terms of what I was advised was that, first, again, I worked with my PT. We didn't do much in the first couple of weeks other than get me moving.
Yeah.
But then they were able to gradually, and I'm still working with my PT, and they've been fabulous, introduce more and more activity. But I was cleared for everything at 3 months, which I'm not too far removed from.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Awesome. Thank you. It's incredible. I played golf yesterday.
Wow.
In fact, I played better than before.
That is amazing. That's amazing. That's like Tiger Woods winning Masters after his, you know, yes.
Yeah, my husband, he's like, what happened? You know?
Yeah.
I think all the PT helped. And
interesting.
I think it helped me, you know, to play golf, you move your neck back and forth.
Right.
And I was fine.
And you were better than before.
I was better than before. Yes. Not that I recommend going through neck surgery to get better than before, but it just kind of worked out in a surprising way.
But maybe there were some little micro things you weren't even aware of that you were kind of holding back a little bit because little twinge or a little, right? And now you're just free and clear to move.
I think so. Well, in fact, I sit better in a chair than before. There might have been some soft indicators like you're talking about before, where I would squirm in my chair, you know, quite a bit. And now I just sit up straight. So I do think I'm actually better than before.
That's awesome. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
So amazing. Well, Carrie, it was a delight to meet you and hear your story.
Thank you, Rita.
Sharing it with the community will no doubt help others, will help somebody else make the right decisions they need to get on their spine health journey. And we do say it's a journey, right? I mean, for you,
it is a journey.
Your story, you're one of the lucky ones from the start of your pain to finding an answer, to getting it taken care of, to getting through your surgery, healing back to life. This is a great story, and we celebrate this story. This is the kind of story we want everybody to be able to have, but we know that for some, it's not quite as clear cut. But for those who do have a great story like this, bravo, right? And just bravo to you. You did all the right things as a patient. You had obviously an excellent team, and
yes.
You did your part. The surgeon did his part, and what a great story. What a great success story. Congratulations.
Thank you. And thank you for having me on this show. Like, as I said, that's what helped me get through it, is hearing another person's story. And there's so much to this. Every day I was going through it, I was committing and recommitting to myself, how am I going to cope with this experience? And it's hard. Each and every day is so hard with this. And doing things comprehensively was important too. My team has been so wonderful to me, and they believed in me and have helped me every step of the way. And they've been there to support me post-operatively. I had some questions after neck surgery. You can have some weird sensations in your neck that I was concerned about, but they provided support, told me it was perfectly ordinary, helped get me through that. And so I'm very grateful to be here and sharing this story, and I hope it can be helpful to someone too.
That's great. I mean, we say, you know, again, as I mentioned, 100 million people are affected by neck and back conditions. And yet when it strikes you, you feel so alone. You feel like you're the only person Yep. suffering. We think it's so important that our information be made available to everybody who needs it and to raise awareness that this information is here. I think there's never been a more important time for there to be an advocacy group for spine patients than there is right now, because the results can be so good, like your story. And we need to let people know that that's out there so that they're able to find the right care. Because I think that's part of the hardest part of the journey is finding the right care. And we want people to know they've got to advocate for themselves. Mm-hmm. They've got to do the research like you did. Fortunately, you've got a strong healthcare background. But that's what we're trying to do at the National Spine Health Foundation, is put information together that anybody can understand and can read and absorb and educate themselves. There's all levels of information that we have. And, you know, as an example, I'm a surgeon by training. When it came time for me to have my back surgery, they were proposing a procedure that didn't exist when I was in training. That's how quickly spine is right. Behind, right?
Right.
And I said, well, I've never heard of that before. And so I needed information, and I wanted to talk to other people. And so even though I'm a trained medical person, I still needed basic information on what this procedure was that they did for me. So thank you so much for helping to help us to help others. And this is a real calling for me, for sure. And Carrie, we're just delighted to have you as part of our community and advocating for others as well.
Well, thank you. I'm just so happy that there is a community, and thank you for what you do and everything, and having such a wonderful website and people available to be spinal champions and offer support to other people. It's just an amazing service that you provide. I'm very, very grateful, and it helped to get me through the whole process.
Wow. Thank you for saying that. Okay. That's a soundbite we're going to have to grab and use over and over again. With your permission, Carrie.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You gave so much to me. It's the least I can do.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. At the National Spine Health Foundation, something we believe in most is providing hope for recovery through sharing stories of success and expertise. It isn't always easy to find someone to relate to, even though 100 million adults suffer from neck or low back pain each year. To hear more stories of spinal champion recovery and access educational materials about spine health, visit us at spinehealth.org. If you're interested in supporting our show financially, you can contribute at the link provided. Thank you for listening.